Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Well, menopause, as we were just saying off the air, is a rite of passage. Every woman's going to go through it at some point in your life. What age did your mother go through it? What about your sisters? Is it going to be the same for you? And what can you do about some of those symptoms and things that go along with it? My guest is Dr. Alyssa Dweck. She's a full-time practicing OB-GYN at the Mount Kisco Medical Group in Westchester County, New York. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dweck. So let's start with, is there any way to predict? When I mentioned your mother, your sisters, is there any way to predict, as it sort of run in families, the age at which you'll start going through these things?
Hi, and thanks for having me. Actually, there's a little prediction out there because we do know that there is a genetic component to when you will go through menopause. So if your mom or your sisters have gone through at an earlier age, you likely will follow suit. And I believe that the earlier you start menstruating, the later you keep your period. So that seems to be something that might be a little rule of thumb. Other factors that are more in our controls as to when you might go through menopause include smoking. So we know that women who smoke might go through an earlier and more difficult menopause with symptoms. Being overweight may have something to do with it, and general lifestyle factors as well.
Well, sure. Okay. So those are all sort of lifestyle factors, as you put it. And now come some of the things you and I were talking just a little bit about, the beginnings of it, perimenopause, how you know it's starting. And one time I thought I was, and my doctor's like, no, you're not. And just because my periods were irregular, now we know I am. Is there a hormonal test to know when you're in peri and starting into menopause?
Sure. There are a couple of blood tests that can be done to give a general bit of information about that particular window in time. So we can check two blood tests, one called FSH, one called estradiol, and these will give us a little bit of information as to what your hormonal status is. This, however, does not tell you exactly when you're truly menopausal, and frankly, we don't really like to treat blood levels, but rather symptoms and patients' individual complaints. So we really base it more on that.
Okay, so the first thing that everybody always asks now, as our hormones are changing and we're going into menopause, are you docs still recommending hormone replacement? We hear about bioidentical hormones, and we hear about black cohosh and all of these things, Dr. Dweck, and it's a very dizzying, rather confusing situation. Does it contribute to breast cancer, heart disease? Does it help your bones? What are we doing these days about HRT?
Right. So this is a bit overwhelming, but actually, I'm very happy to know that we have a lot of different tools in our war chest to help treat menopausal symptoms. So first and foremost, this is a very individual decision that comes, to really come to play between a patient and a healthcare provider. So some women who truly can't get through their day-to-day lives due to menopausal symptoms really, really may benefit from treatment, and others really will float through and have no trouble and don't need much treatment at all. So first, we base lifestyle factors in part of the treatment paradigm. So we talk about diet, exercise, avoidance of certain triggers that may make treatments worse, like caffeine and stress and things like that. Hormones are definitely part of the picture for some women who are having bad symptoms. So estrogen is the hormone that we're lacking and that our ovaries are not making quite as much of anymore that we can replace. And if you have your uterus still in, then you do need to take another hormone called progesterone in order to protect your uterus from developing an overgrowth of tissue or even uterine cancer. With all of that said, I typically do prescribe hormone therapy for women who are really having difficult symptoms. And while there may be a very, very slight increased chance of breast cancer, blood clot, and uterine cancers, again, this is a risk-benefit ratio for women depending on how terrible their symptoms are and what their individual medical background is.
Okay, so it's that personal choice. And
exactly.
Speak with your doctor about it and whether you can get through these symptoms or whether you can't, that's something to deal with. Now, what about things like hot flashes? A lot of women go through these and they're very uncomfortable. I've seen one of my friends that was on tamoxifen and those hot flashes were alarming, my goodness, just breaking
right
out into a sweat. But is there something you can do about those?
Yes. So for women who can't take hormones or who don't want to take hormones, for example, the woman on tamoxifen, presumably for breast cancer, mm-hmm. we often will use antidepressants to help with debilitating hot flashes. Two have been FDA approved for the indication of hot flashes. So we have vanlaxaphene and also paroxetine or Brizdel. So this may be an option for people. Again, there are certain over-the-counter remedies that some women claim work, others don't, and most of the information is anecdotal at best. So we have black cohosh, another supplement called estrovin. These are all plant phytoestrogens that may or may not have some benefit for hot flashes.
Where does nutrition fit into the menopausal picture, Dr. Dweck? Is there some things you want us to do for nutritionally to keep maybe some of these symptoms at bay or to help us ease into it a little bit?
I think nutrition has a play with everything. You are what you eat, as they say. So certainly a healthy diet, a Mediterranean diet is typically recommended with lots of fresh fruits, vegetables, olive oil, avoidance of some of the bad fats, and that could be helpful. Avoidance of caffeine, MSG, certain alcohols, particularly red wine, may be contributory to hot flashes, so that might be helpful for some women. And then keeping your weight down.
I'd like to add in my own, being the exercise physiologist that I am, because exercise, I think, helps with a lot of these because it helps keep your body moving and keeps your blood flowing and even helps regulate some of the bad hormones that come in, like cortisol, and start to play havoc on us and stress.
Right.
You know, stress, we worry about
stress reduction. Stress reduction is an important part of that. So exercise is a great stress reducer, but also meditation or paced breathing might be helpful for some women because stress can cause hot flashes as well.
Well, certainly it can. And so just back to that hormone thing, when you're talking about some of the hormone replacement, is there a difference between what you would prescribe and these bioidentical hormones that some like holistic practitioners might be prescribing?
Right. I like to just clarify that bioidentical hormones simply means that these particular hormones chemically mimic what your body typically would make on its own. There are bioidentical hormones that are made by pharmaceutical companies, and this is what I typically will prescribe for women, but there are lots of other pharmaceutical hormones as well. You may be speaking of some of the compounded hormones that are made for individual women, and what the compounders will typically cite as an advantage is that the dosing might be a little bit more exact because it can be titrated specifically for each person based on blood or salivary hormone levels. The truth of the matter is side effects are probably the same, and these really have not been deemed to be safer or better or that much different than the traditional hormone therapy, and that's an ACOG recommendation.
And it's a good recommendation. It's always good to be a good health advocate and be aware of these kinds of things and the iffy science behind some of them. So in just the last minute or less, your best advice for those of us, you and me both, starting this change of life, this, and even touch on in this last minute here, our moods, because I want to scream at everybody sometimes.
Yes. Well, I think number one, prepare for it. With good health habits that start before menopause and before and during the menopausal transition, number one. Number two, weight control is very important, as you've mentioned. And I would like to just make one statement about vaginal dryness because that's a symptom that a lot of my patients come in and complain about during this time. And that really has multiple ways to be treated, whether it's with over-the-counter moisturizers and lubricants like Replenz or KY jelly and those types of things, or vaginal estrogen, which certainly has a place in the menopausal time. But bring these complaints up to your healthcare provider because
5 seconds.
There's no taboo to menopause. It's a rite of passage, not a disease, and I think that's very important.
Thank you so much. Stay tuned and stay well.